As you listen to those carols, those readings, you know, they're songs that we tend to only sing this time of year. And while those parts of the Bible you could read any time of year, we're definitely reading them at Christmas, right? It just becomes part of our tradition, part of what helps it actually feel like Christmas. So what other traditions do you have? What is it that you feel like you've got to do every year? Maybe a movie you watch or an event you go to? You know, I know one of them for our family is every year we set aside at least one night where we're going to make hot cocoa, get cookies and candy canes, and all pile into the car and drive around and look at Christmas lights together that everybody's put up on their houses. Listen to Christmas music. You know, we just love that. It's just all of those little things, those little traditions that make it feel like Christmas, that help us get into the spirit of Christmas. But as I thought about that over the last couple of weeks, it really got me thinking, you know, because as an adult, you can feel like you're chasing that, right? Like you keep doing one more tradition, trying to get into the Christmas spirit. Well, what is the spirit of Christmas? Is it joy? Is it peace on earth? Is it the fact that people are a little kinder to each other, at least for a few weeks? Right? Because usually if we say that, we don't actually mean the parties and the movies. It's something else they're trying to help us get after. And I noticed this. If you think about your favorite Christmas stories, the favorite books, favorite movies, even some of our favorite songs, they've all kind of got that line going through them of all of the hustle and bustle, all of the circumstances and everything else that's going on in the busyness of the season. But then, like, the main character, by the end of the movie, finally learns the true meaning of Christmas, finally experiences real Christmas spirit. And one of my favorites, and maybe the first one that really hit me that way in my life, is this classic book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Now, I know that you already know this story, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. Unless you want me to read the whole thing. I'm going to skip ahead. So after the Grinch has stolen Christmas, when the Whos wake up with none of their toys and none of their decorations and all that stuff is missing and they sing anyway, you get this moment with the Grinch where it says, "And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, and bags." Then the Grinch, he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. "Maybe Christmas," he thought, "doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more." And how many times have we heard that same journey from some of our favorite Christmas characters? Maybe there's more to this. There's something about Christmas that you can't quite see, you can't quite taste, you can't quite touch, but we're longing for it. Another one of my favorite movies is Miracle on 34th Street, where Kris Kringle gives us this little nugget. He says that Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind. So what if it wasn't just like I'm on my best behavior for 24 hours or like 17 hours? Okay, maybe 4 hours. If I can just get through like the party, right? What if this was just how our minds work? What if we thought this way all the time? What if this was just our way of life? Well, of course, the modern Christmas classic, Elf, you know the first rule of the elves, don't you? Treat every day like Christmas. But we don't, do we? Like, somehow there is this thing in the human experience that everybody brings up at Christmas. If only we did. If only we treated every day like Christmas and there was joy and peace and kindness, but we don't. And I think it might actually be impossible if the spirit of Christmas is a what. But what if the spirit of Christmas is a who? In fact, there's a book in the Bible called Matthew, written by one of Jesus' closest friends as a biography of his life. And as he writes this, it was actually the first reading that we heard today, he uses this moment to describe that first Christmas. And I want you to notice the details that he has in here. He says, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You see, for Mary and Joseph, this is literally the spirit of Christmas. This is God in Holy Spirit form, the only one who could pull off this miracle. So for all of the details of Christmas, for everything that they experienced, for all the traditions that we think of, this is the Christmas spirit. And it's someone, not just something. And so the invitation right out of Matthew's writing, right out of the life of Mary and Joseph, is that you can actually get to know the spirit of Christmas. Because he isn't a what, but a who. Did you ever think about it that way? You see, this is a critical part of the main message of the Bible. So often we think of God as distant. He's so far above us, if he's even out there. Maybe he checks in on planet Earth once in a while. But what the Bible actually tells us is that God is knowable. You can get to know God. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And so sometimes we hear about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and it's confusing and it's mysterious because there's one God but three persons, and so Jesus is God and the Spirit is God and the Father is God, and how does this work? And in the midst of that, it is often the Spirit that gets turned into kind of like a disembodied force or like a power. But every time the Bible talks about the Spirit, it's a who. It calls him He. That Mary and Joseph could have known him personally, and that you and I can too. And so if that sounds mysterious or confusing to you, you're in good company. Christians for centuries have wrestled with, how do we understand the Spirit? Because sort of like we talked about earlier with, you know, the Christmas spirit and that feeling, you can't quite touch it, you can't quite see it. God's spirit is that way. I can't touch him, I can't see him. So what is he, and what is he like, and what does he do? Well, if you've been tracking with our exploring series this year, earlier this year we did a series called Raiders of the Lost Cities. And we had Indiana Chad up here, and we were looking at ancient artifacts that help us really understand who God is and what the Bible is all about. And in just the last couple of weeks, I found one of these ancient artifacts. And this is one that I realized had been very helpful to me in my life to understand the Holy Spirit. And so I got Chad's Indiana Jones bag, and I wanted to actually show you this artifact. So this is a special moment for you. This artifact is called a cassette tape. You see, many years ago, people would actually record their voices and even music on these little tapes so they could share them with one another. Now, lucky for me, my car still has a tape deck. Unlucky for my kids, that meant I could pop this tape in this week and listen to it, because this tape is called Kids Christmas Sing Along. And it still works. And there's some of those parts that get fuzzy. You know how it is with these ancient artifacts. And it's got all the classics. It's got Jingle Bells, We Three Kings, even some of the ones we sang this morning. Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him. But the last song on side one is called The Gift Goes On. And I remember this because this is one of the tapes that we would listen to when I was a kid. And we'd be driving around looking at lights, sitting in the back of the minivan, sipping my cocoa and looking out the window. And that idea that the gift, I mean, at Christmas, that's what we think about, right? We give gifts, we receive gifts. But in this song, it's talking about how God is the giver. And there was one line that's been stuck in my head, like, for decades, where it says, the Father gave the Son gave the Spirit, And the Spirit gives us life. And it goes on and on and on. And the gift goes on. And so there's definitely still mystery to it, but I realized as I heard those lines again, that's really what the Spirit is all about. That there is a sense in which He wants to give us life, and not just for a day, but every day, and even beyond this life forever. That's who the spirit of Christmas is. And in addition to that ancient artifact, there's also another place in the Bible that really helped me kind of wrap my head around this. And it comes from a letter called Galatians, where Paul is writing to this city of Galatia. They think it's probably his first letter, so right around like 52 AD. So this is like the first generation of people who are calling themselves Christ followers and trying to figure out, what does it actually mean to say that I follow Jesus? What does it mean to believe these things he was teaching and see that happen in my actual life? And so when Paul is trying to help them understand the Holy Spirit, he brings up Christmas. In the fourth section of his letter, this is what he writes. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Sent forth is giving language. God gave his son, born of a woman. That's Christmas. And he goes on to say, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts. He reaches back to that Christmas moment and says, this is what was happening. Now, it's interesting to think about this because if you think this was written in about 52 AD, that means there have only been about 50 Christmases at that point in history. Now it's been over 2,000, right? But they were really early on, and of those 50, people had only cared for about 15. Because if you think about it, when Jesus is growing up, he's having a birthday every year. So if Christmas celebrates Jesus' birthday, most of those early Christmases were just Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Maybe they gave him presents. Maybe they grilled some lamb. I don't know. But it wasn't until after his death and his resurrection that people said, whoa, he really is who he claimed to be. He really rose from the dead like he said he would. He really is God. He really is the Savior. And then they get letters like this where Paul's like, and if you want to make sense of the whole thing, you realize what God has done for you? I mean, think about it. That means they don't have Christmas trees. They don't have stockings. Nobody's roasting chestnuts over an open fire, and there's definitely no Rudolph yet. Just this. Within your lifetime, God was born. That in your lifetime, God wants to send his own spirit into your heart. And there's mystery to that. But what a gift. In fact, even Jesus, when he was alive on earth before his resurrection, he said, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to return to heaven. And he said, that's actually better for you. Now, if you're his closest friends, how can that be better? Jesus is a miracle worker. But when Jesus was here in the flesh, he was in one place at one time. What he told them was, if I go, I will send you my spirit, who will be with you everywhere, all the time, with all of you. What an incredible gift that all comes out of that first Christmas. And so he says what he wants, what God wants for you is to send his spirit into your heart. That comes through faith in Jesus Christ. When you say, I believe that he's not just a good man or a good teacher or the Savior, I believe that he's my Savior. Then God says, then I send my spirit, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of Christmas into your heart. So you hear what he's telling you? Essentially, to get into the Christmas spirit, you need to get the Christmas spirit into you. It's not just a matter of trying harder and more traditions and more activities. There's something about the Spirit of God getting into us. Now, again, that can sound a little bit strange, a little bit unusual. Well, what does that mean? What does it look like? What is this spirit like, and what does he do? Well, fear not, because just about one page later in that same letter, look at how Paul describes this spirit. He says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is a word that doesn't mean you suffer for a long time. It is sometimes translated as patience or endurance. It's the idea that no matter what happens, you can endure it. It's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now look at that list. Joy? Peace? This is everything we want at Christmas. That's what I'm trying to find in the midst of the chaos and in the midst of the circumstances and whatever has happened. Man, what if Christmas felt like this? And isn't it everything we want to be? That's that thing that we're longing for when the Whos lose all of their gifts and they're joyful anyway. The Grinch is striving for it. It's that thing that we wish lasted all year long. I don't need the pressure of buying presents and opening presents and, oh, thank you, all year. Like, let's, a couple times, my birthday, thank you. Christmas, okay, right? I want this all the time. I want this done to me, but I want to be this. And I love that at the end he says, against such there's no law. Like, did he even need to say that? But he wants to make sure you realize how universal this is. Nobody anywhere at any time has ever had to be afraid that an officer of the law is going to walk up to you and say, you're under arrest. We've had reports of you being good and kind toward other people. Right? No officer ever puts you in handcuffs and says, reports are you've been gentle to your children this week. Nobody ever walks up to you and says, you're being too patient with the people around you. We're going to have to take you downtown. There's no laws against this anywhere, at any point, ever, because this is what everybody wants. This is what we long for. And this is who the Spirit is. And he is this way every single day, all the time. This is who the Spirit of God is. In fact, he uses that phrase. You see that the fruit of the Spirit. Now, usually I hear fruit at Christmas. I think fruitcake. You guys, has anyone here ever actually eaten fruitcake? Brave over here in the back. Yeah, okay. So if you want to know what it tastes like, there are a few people in the room you can actually ask them. Because I'm always like, it sounds too dangerous, right? Like you hear the joke that there's only one fruitcake in the world. It just keeps getting passed around. And then I walk into Buskin and like the fruitcakes look so good, but I better not risk it. I don't know. I've never had fruitcake. Okay, so this is not that kind of fruit, okay? Instead, the reason he calls it the fruit of the Spirit is you think about an apple, you think about an orange, you think about a grape. When have you ever looked at a grape on a vine and just watch it struggle? Trying so hard to grow and be a good grape. Never. That's not how fruit works. All the grape has to do is stay connected to the vine, and the vine is pouring life into that grape. In fact, Jesus used that exact metaphor to describe himself. He literally said, I am the vine. Remain in me. Stay connected to me, and I will pour life into you. And I love that because when you look at this list, I want to be all these things, and some of them I am sometimes, but I run out of patience quick. And my joy can fly out the window when I'm trying to stay joyful, but that circumstance hit or that thing happens and anxiety and depression are at the door. Right? Like we run out quickly. And if it's on me to just try harder to have peace, it's not going to work. So as you think about these things, you realize they're actually something that the Holy Spirit wants to pour into us. Reminded me of a friend of mine. A few years ago, his wife had been diagnosed with cancer, and she was coming to the end of her life right around the holidays. She ended up actually passing away in January in the new year. And so I just asked him, you know, what was it like kind of knowing that the end was coming? walking through Thanksgiving and through Christmas. And his faith had really exploded just in that time, just grown in incredible ways because he saw his wife's faith. He says, she has way more faith than I do. She's so confident in Jesus that she knows no matter what happens with disease, that she is going to heaven, that she's going to be with him. And I've learned that from her. And so as we've gone through this, I've argued with God and I've wrestled with God, but we've also been surprised. Knowing that the end is coming, knowing how difficult this is, we've been surprised by just moments of joy and even moments of peace. He said, that's how I know that God is with me. Friends, that's the Holy Spirit working in his life. That when I don't have those things, God is saying that his Spirit has a limitless supply that he wants to give us when we lean into him. And so for my friend, there were many days of sorrow and many days of tears, but moments of joy and peace because he knew that God loved him, loved them in the midst of it. So maybe as you're thinking about it this Christmas, maybe instead of thinking about it as fruit, you picture it like ornaments hanging on a tree. And just ask yourself, where do you need a little more Christmas spirit this season? Because I don't know what brought you in here today. You know, maybe it is like it already feels like Christmas and you're just so excited and carols and readings is today and you got a pocket full of candy canes and you are ready to go. You took the jingle bells off just for during the service, but they're going right back on, right? But maybe you've lost somebody this year. Maybe this week has been a lot harder than you expected. Maybe you had to drag yourself in here because you just need a little Christmas. You know, whatever it is that is on your heart or on your mind as you're sitting here this morning, as you're watching this today, where would you ask God? God, I need a little more joy. God, I need your patience for me, and I need your patience to be patient with others. A little more kindness or a little more peace. There's a guy that, a friend of mine that taught me this once. He said what he learned about the Holy Spirit, and I think this is the most practical thing that I've learned about that thing I can't quite see, I can't quite touch, but God says it's there. And he said, especially at the holidays, he likes to pray this way before he goes to that family gathering. Says, I need a little help when I get, because I love them, they're all great, it's my family, but there's a lot of people all in one place for kind of a long time, and you can get on each other's nerves. And he says, when I take trips to the family, when we go to the family gathering, he said, it goes so much better if I'll pray the fruit of the Spirit first. And so I found that this actually works like in everyday life, not just for the family gathering, to wake up in the morning. Because if I wake up in the morning and say, today I got to be more patient, and I just try really hard all day, I run out by like 9:30 a.m., okay? But it's different if I stop in the morning and I say, God, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know if I'm going to need patience today. In that moment, would you remind me that we talked about this and give me your patience? If it's really true that you have unlimited God-sized patience available to me. And my friend and I, we both experienced the same thing. What happens is like later that day when you've forgotten all about it because you prayed in the morning, but now stuff's going on. And in that moment, when you're just about ready to, there's like a flash through your mind. Can't quite put your finger on it. Never heard an audible voice that's like, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to wait a minute. I'm about to. Okay, wait a minute. He said he realized that's the Holy Spirit trying to talk to him. That's the way he experiences the Spirit more than anything else. And now the question is, will he listen? Here's God saying, hold on a minute. We talked about this. Remember, you said you wanted patience, and I'm here with an infinite amount. Okay, God, then I'm going to need yours because I'm about up to here. I ran out. Give me your patience. Give me your peace. You've been gentle to me. Help me be gentle to others. Where might you need a little more joy, a little more love? We'll save self-control for the new year, like after the parties, right? It's actually exactly how Paul describes it just a little bit later in this letter. He says,
and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
So a little bit of religious language there that really just means those who are Christ's, those who belong to Christ, are the people who have said, I believe that he is my Savior. I want him to be my leader. Sometimes you hear the word Christ follower, sometimes you hear the word Christian. That's what he means there, those who belong to Christ. He says they've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So just like Jesus was crucified to take the penalty for all of the mistakes we've made, all the ways that we've fallen short of God's perfect standard, what the Bible refers to as sin, he says, now I've got a choice to make. Because most of the time when I don't act like the Spirit, it's because I'm out for me. I want what brings me comfort, what brings me pleasure. He's saying you've got to set aside your own passions and desires and temptations, that stuff that's called sin, and instead lean back into the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So catch this again. If you're going to go out there and say, you know what, I'm not sure about all this stuff. I like the list. I don't know about the Jesus thing or the Spirit thing. Sounds a little like woohoo. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and try to develop your own source of limitless love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think if we're honest, we can't do it. That's why every movie is pining away for if only we could do this all year. We can't. He can. That's why first it says we have to live in the Spirit, like that grape connected to God, letting him pour into us, and then we actually can walk it out. So it's not, okay, God, you're telling me to be patient? All right, I'll try. Okay, I failed. Hey, God, you saw that happen, right? Right. So often we treat it that way, like God makes a command, and then we go do our best and then report back to him about how it didn't work out. What he's saying is he wants to put his Spirit in us to go with us, and it's actually his patience, his love, his joy for me and through me. So here's my encouragement to you. As you think about where you need a little more Christmas Spirit, let's also think about how can we share the Christmas Spirit this season. And so we've actually put together, as you walk out today, there are sheets that you can pick up that look just like this. You can also get this online if you want to print it out. Just ornaments, and each of those are the fruits of the Spirit. And so maybe they're on cardstock. Maybe you cut one out. Just keep it in your pocket to remind you, hey, today I'm asking God for joy. Today I'm asking God for peace. Or if you have kids or grandkids who like to color, or if you just like to color, color them out, punch out the hole, put a ribbon on it, hang it on the tree. And maybe that's even just a little special moment with you and God to say, God, peace. Would you give me your peace today? And it all starts by putting your trust in Jesus. Can we pray that way right now? God, we are so thankful that you sent forth your Son that first Christmas to be a Savior for us, to save us from all of our mistakes, our sin, all the things we get wrong. Lord, from all the ways we don't live up to the fruits of the Spirit. We're also so thankful that you sent forth your Spirit to put these things into our life. And so, God, for any man or woman or child who hears this or looks at those ornaments or is listening today, God, when they take a moment with you and by faith in Jesus ask that you would give them more of your peace, your joy, your self-control, your gentleness, Lord, let us see how you answer that prayer, that we might enjoy this Christmas season with the Spirit of Christmas. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.